This podcast is brought to you by DKP & Co. Chartered Accountants. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
You're listening to Evenings on FNR Football Nation Radio.
Time to wave to everyone who's watching and joining us. Hello again. It's a Thursday program. George Denikian, Louise Taffer, and a very special guest. Happens to be another George in the studio. We'll be talking to him in just a moment. George Mirabella, great to have you on board.
Thank you for having me here, George.
Don't be silly. It's our pleasure.
Thank you.
You notice this young woman to your right?
Yes.
We start the programs by talking all things France. So there are some games that have been played overnight at the Women's World Cup. Louise has got some interesting results. Anything surprise you, Louise?
Oh, there was one surprise.
Which one was that?
Nigeria, and more so Korea, South Korea.
Yes.
Because they played their second group game. So we're already into the second group games now, which is pretty surprising because it just flies, doesn't it?
There's a very big one coming up tomorrow morning. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Go on. The results?
South Korea, unfortunately, have now lost their second consecutive game.
Ouch.
Nigeria got their first win and picked up their first 3 points in their 2-0 victory.
2-0. Okay, that's pretty convincing. Second result?
Group B, Germany made it from two from two with a 1-0 win over Spain.
Well, that'll please the many thousands of German fans who've been waiting for the women to give the men a bit of a clip around the ears, because the men certainly disappointed at the World Cup in Russia, did they not? The Germans came as the number one team in town and got knocked over very quickly. But good to see that the German women now showcasing the way. The third result?
Was the hosts, France.
Yes.
Who continue their perfect form with another win, this time over Norway, 2-1.
I've got to say, the French have started like a house on fire, which is pretty usual. The French, you know, that Gallic charm, that Gallic excitement. They've got the fans right behind them, but they're also playing a brand of football that's very exciting to watch, isn't it, George?
Yes, I do tend to agree with you, but tomorrow's the big one for Australia, the big test.
All right.
George, you should ask George if he's going to get up at that time in the morning. He likes his beauty sleep.
I probably won't. No, I won't go to bed. Don't worry. Listen, as always, our lines are open, so if you want to give us a call on any of the subjects, and George Mirabella will probably raise a few subjects, 03-9944-9999. We're also streaming live on Facebook, the FNR app. I've got to get my mouth around it. And the website will be open until about 6 o'clock. We'll be previewing the match that we just talked about tomorrow morning. I think it's about 1:30 when the coverage starts. It's Australia against Brazil, the Matildas against Brazil. And the suggestion is that suddenly the pressure has overcome all our women. I'd like to remind everyone that there's a reason why they're number six in the world, because more often than not, they've played some terrific football. They had a bad one early on, opening game of the World Cup for Australia, but there's one thing that we've all forgotten, or maybe we need to refresh people's opinions or ideas on. The women, had they scored all the goals that they created or all the openings they found, had they been able to nail a couple of those goals, we wouldn't be talking about a high line and we wouldn't have been talking about a late defensive blunder that saw us fail to get the points. It would have been a very different result and we would be running a different narrative today. But this is the beauty of sport, the beauty of broadcasting, the beauty of writing a magazine article about what you saw. I'd like to remind all the professionals, don't barrack. If you're there as a professional, tell us what you really understand, yeah? Leave the emotion for the fans. That's the most important thing. I was actually surprised and shocked by some of the commentary and some of the dissertation after the game. I'd like to think that at the end of the day, if you're a professional and you're being called on to provide an opinion, you keep the politics out of it, but you tell it as you understand it, right? And all I heard was a lot of bleating, and I thought it was unbecoming, actually. Surprised me. Something that is becoming tonight, 7 o'clock, Ian Sison, Paul Mavroudis, back in the studio for another edition of If You Know Your History. And at 8 o'clock, it's the Preston Lions Club Show, which features Josh Parrish and Chris Turpos. The program's called The Lion's Den. It's actually a really good idea. We've got club shows across the program on FNR, George, and it's the clubs basically showcasing their history, their people, men and women, and telling their story in a way that's never been available before. That's the beauty of what FNR is trying to do from and has done from day one. Again, Preston enjoyed the bye in the State League One program over the weekend, but it's back to business this week, and it's number one playing number two.
Oh, very nice.
Exactly right. The number one team is Preston, and they're playing Sydenham, which is number two. I think they're playing at Sydenham, so it'll be won't be easy. Tonight, the boys will be joined by women's player Jesh Halabi. They have the men's assistant coach, Chris Capone, and they'll also reminisce with the legendary Claude Lucchese. I haven't heard from
young Claudio.
Yeah, Claudio. Hey, Claudio Lucchese. I haven't heard from Claudio in a lifetime. So we'll be listening. Speaking of listening, some FNR whispers, Miss Louise.
Oh, Mr. Danekian, you're giving me the honours of
well, it has to
talking
be your,
about
It's all about
them.
Your club.
My club?
Your club, Manchester United.
He thinks I own it.
No.
It's her club.
Manchester United.
I don't own Manchester United.
Come on.
Well, we're
hearing. George, in the real way. Tell him what's happening. What's going on?
We're hearing Manchester United have a set price for their World Cup Frenchman.
We're talking about Paul Pogba. Okay. What do they want for the Frenchman to leave?
$300 million Australian.
Get out of here. So they've set a price, £150 million. They're saying, you pay that, he can go. He can walk.
Pretty much.
Wow.
I don't know.
Where's he likely to walk? Real Madrid.
But Real Madrid have already spent quite a lot of money over the past couple of days.
What's money when it comes to Real Madrid? George, what do you think about things like that? We ask the fans to invest in players, and then suddenly we start moving players around willy-nilly.
Look, I personally believe 300 million is not worth 300 million.
But it's only 300 million Australian.
But let's say, and not because I'm of Italian background, Juventus got him off Manchester United for nothing.
Correct. They sold it made him a star.
Made him a superstar. He went to Manchester United, made a lot of money playing for the wrong club. That style of player should never have gone, in my opinion, to a Manchester United.
Yep.
But third of all, you know, what's he really done? Okay, it is not the Manchester United of old.
No.
Is he worth 300 million? No way. I think I wouldn't offer him more than what they paid.
Originally, 80, 90 million.
Whatever that is. And even still, even if it's 80.
He sells a lot of T-shirts.
It doesn't matter. But the problem is, look, players earning sick money, because it's now become a point of sick money, and this is the point that I wanted to get through today, and I want to make it very clear to everyone. People are paying a lot of money to go and watch these games.
Yep.
Are they worth
it? Hard-earned.
Very hard-earned money. Is it worth it? No. And they're paying that sort of money because they have to pay these sort of players that don't give you, let's call it sexy soccer or the entertaining soccer all the time. And it really needs to stop. Look at the world that we're living in today. Yes, I know their careers are short. I won't dispute that. Do they deserve to earn something a bit more than, you know, more than the average? Yes, they do. But seriously, when you're looking at these sort of people here, $300 million, really.
Do you pay Messi $300 million?
Look, great players, but no. It's crazy. Look at the world that we're living in today.
George Mirabella, the dilemma is this. We live in a free country. We live in a modern democracy. We live in a sporting climate where you pay what the market will bear. And at the moment, the market is going bananas, as you touched on.
Yes.
And players are asking for amazing amounts of money, and their agents are pushing it every other day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anton Griezmann, we're hearing, is going to Barca.
Mm-hmm.
We're also hearing that a guy called Adrian Mirzhevsky, the former Sydney FC player, who did so very well for them and won, I think it was the Johnny Warren, won the Johnny Warren medal while he was playing for Sydney, is coming back to the A-League. What do you think he's going to ask for? Do you think he's going to ask for chopped liver?
Look, you know, let's talk about the A-League.
Go. Talk to me about the A-League.
All right.
And before you start, I should add, two things have excited me. Melbourne City, I'm hearing, are close to announcing a new coach to replace Warren Joyce.
And that would be coach number what, 100 or
115?
515. Yep, yep.
Who's counting? Mm-hmm. But, hey, by the way, the latest word is, when is Melbourne Victory going to formally announce that Marco Kurz is the man who's coming in to replace your favourite Kevin Muscat, who used to wear that Mirabella shirt like very few people on the planet.
Aren't we good at Mirabella, huh? We educated the world how to advertise.
God, huh? Let me tell you, you put it right in everybody's eyes every moment of every interview.
Yes, I must admire my brother Joseph.
Congratulations, Joseph.
For making such a call. Very, very happy
with Kevin's work.
I won't comment on that at the moment, but,
Let's talk about the A-League.
All right. So,
how do we pump it up? How do we get people involved? And how do we get people back at the game?
It's very easy, in my opinion. And look, this is the heart talking and it's reality. Soccer needs to wake up in Australia big time, in the world. Why is soccer successful in Europe? Soccer's successful in Europe for one thing. The child that lives next door has the opportunity to play in La Liga or in the Bundesliga,
whatever. Yeah.
In Australia, as long as you have the people that think that they're running soccer and they're doing a great job, wake up. Please wake up, because you're not. It's boring. The A-League is absolutely boring. And as an owner, my family owns it, I refuse to go to the game because I get upset, because it is boring.
I've got to get you back to the football. George Mirabella, my challenge for 2019-2020 is Louise and I are going to get you back to the football, all right?
George will bring you into the President's Club.
He owns the President's.
I don't even go to the President's Club.
We'll go and sit behind the goals.
No. I like to go and sit with my mother and father and my brothers, sisters, my family, because why do I got to go into a President's Club? For what? People that... No, George... I'd like to finish this discussion.
Go.
That they don't understand the game.
Mm.
Melbourne Victory is the A-League. Let's face it.
There's no doubt about it. It's the biggest club in the country.
And yet, what did I see against Sydney FC? No excuse, George. No excuse.
Kevin has fallen on his sword and he's left the club.
No. I don't think that Kevin fell on his sword.
Right.
All right, because at that level there, you don't fall on a sword.
Okay.
All right, you don't.
So he was ushered out of the way?
No, he left at his own free will, and our board allowed that to happen.
What would you have liked to see him do?
Well, can I totally blame Kevin? No, I can't, because he's surrounded by amateurs. And let's face it, we have made ridiculous and stupid decisions, and we've allowed everybody to get away with it. I'm so sorry, and this is the hard talking. This is coming from someone
who's... So how do you fix it?
Easy.
Go.
Professional. Be professional and not run soccer. I'm a mate of a mate of a mate, and if you're a mate, your mate gets to play on the ground, and yet we've allowed professionals that have tried... or people that want to play the game, they're not even negotiating wages, and we've allowed them to go overseas and become superstars because they're not mates of mates. And if anyone wants to challenge me on it, by all means do so.
Yep.
Because I have the
double
answers.
Double nine.
Whatever, because I'm more than willing to bring those people here.
Yep.
And say, well, I did come, I did try to contact you, and this is what happened, and nothing was done about it. And for me to be, hang on, I'm a, well, not me, Mirabella, We are owners of a considerable amount of shares in the club.
Correct. Yeah.
And, you know, we have the responsibility to providing a great product to the people that support us, as Mirabella has done as a company in lighting, providing the people with the right product at the right price and seeing them smile and seeing them always going back to buying a Mirabella product. And that's what Melbourne Victory should be doing. But no, we're not doing it, George.
So if you wave the wand, what do you want them to do?
Be serious.
Yep.
All right, listen.
Yes.
Not, yeah, we're going to do this, and we're not doing it. Throwing ridiculous money to look what's playing on that ground. Australian soccer, we could be anything in Australian soccer, but we've got to have the right people running it. You can't go and have an A-League and think that people are going to go and watch the same game again, you know, 3-4 times. Give any club the opportunity to get to be able to play in the A-League. Get rid of this salary cap. What do you need a salary cap for? People want to pay money, and if we have the opportunity that there are great players that want to spend time in Australia, like Sydney FC, that they brought Del Piero, like we had Robbie Fowler here. Serious, people are prepared to pay the money, and these people know how to perform. These people are professional. Don't put a noose on a club's head and say, no, you can only bring one, and your salary cap is this and this and this. I'm not being offensive towards the clubs that never won an A-League title.
Right.
But if you're not good enough to be there, there are clubs throughout all of Australia that would thrive, that would do anything.
So you're promoting promotion relegation?
It must be. If this game wants to succeed, and they've got to start, as I said, be serious. If you don't know how to run it, get the hell out of there because you shouldn't be there. You know, we have an opportunity to be the greatest sport in this country. The AFL's a flop and a half. Let's face it. Essendon, Carlton, they...
My boys are going through a bad time at the moment.
Look, and so are we at Essendon. But let's face it, 20 years ago, to go and see Essendon, Carlton, all right?
Yep.
If you didn't know the president or if you weren't, mate, don't even waste your time. You could never find a ticket. At Essendon Carlton, they put microphones on the ground. There was only not even 30,000 people. What's it saying about the sport? It's gone. AFL's over. So soccer, take the opportunity. Listen to what I'm saying. And I know what I'm saying, and if anybody out there wants to question me on it, well bring it on.
Promotion relegation.
That George, the best team in the country wins like the
first
team,
past the post.
First or, past the post.
Okay, all right.
Whether it be
laying down the law.
You know, whether it be even a side in Tasmania or Northern Territory, doesn't matter. They made it. They deserve to be there.
So they've proven themselves over the year, season.
They've got to prove themselves. The best team that wins in Victoria, the best team that wins in every state should play off with the last team and whoever wins that tournament, bang into the A-League.
Okay.
And none of this stupid politics of the wages and, well, we've got the best stadiums that money can buy. We've got a soccer ground here. Or a football ground, whatever we want to call it. You know,
Which one are we talking about?
The NRL, the one that we at Melbourne Victory play with. What name are they giving it next year? Is there a name?
Are you not talking about Marvel? Are we talking about Amy Park?
Amy Park. Well, okay. Marvel, they change the name every year.
I give you an idea how difficult it is trying to keep up with the naming of the latest stadium at the Docklands. Mm. Even the Urban Transit Authority, that is Yarra Trams, still call it Etihad.
Oh, of course.
And if you go on the tram, it'll say we've arrived at Etihad Stadium. Someone should remind them that we need to hit the reset button and upgrade the program. By the way, we're talking with our special guest in the studio at FNR. This is Evenings with George Denikin and Louise Taffer. Our special guest, George Mirabella, and he's already laid down the law. His view is, as far as he's concerned, being a long-time member of the family that's that loves the that club that possibly is carrying the A-League, Melbourne Victory. He says it should be first past the post, and the sooner we bring in promotion relegation, the better we will be.
And no more salary cap.
And no, all right, no more salary cap. Now, if that's the case, let's go back. If you could bring one or two players in tomorrow to maybe join the team at Melbourne Victory, who would you bring in?
At
no
Melbourne
salary
Victory?
Cap. Come on, who would you bring in?
Anyone that wants to come here, and we know that's affordable.
Adrian Mijajewski, the Polish player who did so well for Sydney, now he reckons he's coming back. Will he come to Melbourne Victory or will he go to the Adelaide Reds?
I think, look, if someone tells me who should we get as a player, not only Melbourne Victory, but anyone, we've got to bring in players that were known. Now,
that we know?
That we know, like,
okay, but we've brought players in that we know, like Timmy Cahill, and no sooner had he played, people were saying, "Why is Timmy playing?" Okay. They did the same thing for Harry Kewell. Yeah. The truth of the matter is that both of them came at the end of their careers.
Look, yeah, and put that aside.
That makes it hard.
Look, with all due respect,
yep.
Harry Kewell was a disaster.
Was he a disaster?
He was a disaster.
There are fans who love the fact that Harry came.
Yeah, okay. When Alex Del Piero came.
Uh-huh.
Okay. When Mr. Robbie Fowler came.
Yep.
When a fan would go up to him.
Yep.
They signed, they took photographs.
Correct.
Okay. What did Mr. Kewell do at Melbourne Victory?
Yes, okay.
Okay.
Quite simply may not have been
if he'd like to challenge
as available
me,
as he should
but
be.
If he'd like to challenge me on it, Mr. Kewell, by all means do so.
I remember many, many years ago, Alessandro Del Piero playing for Italy in Ireland. Mm-hmm. It was the game had just finished. Italy had won.
Mm-hmm.
It was raining cats and dogs. Everyone had left the stadium, the pitch, except for Alessandro Del Piero, who sat back and signed autograph after autograph after autograph. He was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And the Irish, think of him as a god. Yeah?
Everybody thought of him as a god.
Kevin Keegan, who came to Australia years ago, in the pouring rain, stayed out. We tried to, help him by taking umbrellas across. He said, "Don't give me an umbrella unless you've got an umbrella for everybody else. I'm going to get wet like everyone else." And he stayed out for an hour and a half and signed every autograph that was asked of him. That's what special players tend to do.
And the beauty of it is there are so many players that would love to come here. And this is what the Australian Soccer Federation's got to understand. There are a lot of players, and I'm not wrong in what I'm saying. If you want to challenge me, please bring it on.
99
Whoever you are that runs the game, I've got no idea who it is anyway.
Chris Niku is the chair of FFA. He might ring us.
Perfect. But I'll give
Kevin, by the way, is not going to call us, all right? Kevin Muscat, man who wears the Mirabella shirt like nobody.
Kevin Muscat, when he came, did a wonderful job at the start.
Correct.
And Kevin Muscat was also blessed not only to have me as a friend, but, was surrounded by beautiful people. He was cushioned perfectly. He had the fire in him.
Yep.
And he wanted to win because Kevin's always been a winner.
Yeah, a winner.
All right. Yep. And at the end of the day, he got tired. And I saw it. I actually saw it in watching him on TV and that, look, all the great coaches, you have a time span.
Right.
You have a time span.
Yep.
And then you've got to move on, and then if you want to come back, by all means do so.
Hit the refresh button.
Yes, refresh. And with all due respect, you're talking of a guy that I have
his whole career. Player and coach
always
was Melbourne
a professional.
Victory. Always
a super professional. Yep. Even though I heard he did some wonderful slide tackles.
Let's not go there.
But as I said, a dear friend. I have the world of respect for Kevin, and I wish him all the best for the future. But it's Dale. Now, getting back to the point of before, and I'm so sorry for
Louise wants to know who your favourite players have been over the years.
Look, there's been. Look, players. I can give you a list that'll go for an hour if you want.
Yeah, go. Start.
We've got time.
Yeah, we've got time.
Look, I love the Gianni Rivera, Facchetti, Puskas, which I even had the pleasure to see as a child when he came and played for South Melbourne Ellis.
There you go.
Pelé. Do I rate Maradona? I don't rate drug addicts. So,
okay, let me ask you a very complicated question. Yeah. This is a very complicated question.
Ronaldo, Messi.
Maradona. I saw him as a 16-year-old.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was off the charts brilliant.
Brilliant.
Off the charts.
Yeah.
When he went to Naples, to Napoli, he did something that very few people imagined was possible, was turn their fortunes around and make them a fantastic team. I was in Italy when Argentina beat Italy in Naples.
Yes.
And then I was at the Stadio Olimpico for the World Cup final in 1990.
Yes.
When the crowd of 80,500 never stopped booing him.
Look.
And they were awful.
Look.
Now, whether he deserved it or not, it's another matter. But I remember that young man from 16 doing things that very few players are capable of doing.
I don't disagree with you, but at the end of the day, we all know that the man was influenced by something that's very nasty and that's ruined families.
Yep. And he's still doing it.
Whether he's doing it or not.
Still ruining families.
Correct, 100%.
Yeah, we've got a massive problem there.
And that is an enormous problem. And the authorities and the Australian government, the police, please wake up to it.
Well, they've got to shine a light for a start.
Yeah, correct.
That brings us back to Mirabella.
Mirabella always relight up everyone's life, yes. We even furnish it as well, too. We furnish everyone's life, yes. So when you sit down.
Louise is excited. New apartment. Might need
something. Come and see me. We will give you the good old Italian discount, let's say. Was $1,000 with a 1,000% markup. We'll do it for you for $100, Louise.
There you go. Sorts of things that George Mirabella will do for Louise, very few people will offer.
But, you know, George, like returning back to great players.
Yep.
You know, Alessandro De Piero. What a great player he was. Gordon Banks, God bless him, what a goalkeeper.
Superstar.
What a gentleman.
He was actually one of the great gentlemen. Sir Bobby Charlton. Bobby Charlton came to Australia for a number of guest appearances for Blacktown City in the old NSL days. Yeah. And not only was he something to behold, quiet, made no fuss whatsoever, and yet everywhere he went, there was a row of fans who just were prepared to line up.
Correct.
As they did a number of years later when young Kevin Keegan came.
Correct.
And I can remember being at the Marconi Club in Sydney, Blacktown City, Marconi. It was a huge game and spectacular weather. The Marconi Club was absolutely pumping.
It was
Tony Labozzetta was going, I'm counting the money. I'm counting the money. I'm counting the money.
Cash.
And the best part was Les Murray was looking at me and saying, so where's the platform for the commentary team? And I went, up there, Les. And it was this rickety old wooden structure that they just put together because they had forgotten about the need for a camera. Yeah, and they did it at the last possible moment. How we got Les up there and how we got him down in one piece, very few people know.
No.
But it was great stuff.
Look, I'll give
great
you
drama.
I'll give you something hot off the press and you know, George, I can even show you and
hit me off the press. Go on.
Easy.
Go.
Daniele De Rossi.
Yep.
Who doesn't know Daniele De Rossi?
Well, Louise may or may not.
I do.
All right, so there you go. So
Daniele De Rossi retired.
Just pulled the pin.
Pulled the pin and a legend at the game. I received a text message that Mr. Denikin had the honour of seeing.
Yes.
And I relayed it on. We talk of, and I'm answering every question here.
Yep, yep.
When you have an opportunity that it is negotiable.
Yep, to bring that sort of star down under.
When you know that, like Alex Del Piero, after a long and massive career, they want to dedicate time to their family, which Alex Del Piero let me say, had the time of his life with his children here.
Down under, yeah, yeah.
And that, you know,
people forget, not only did he put his career and his legacy on the line, but he came and enjoyed a couple of years of
Australia,
living in one of the best cities in the world.
Correct.
Yeah, absolutely.
So now,
will Rossi come to Melbourne?
Well, this is the question.
Ah.
I relayed that information on.
To the Victory Board?
Mm.
And did they think kindly or positively about it?
Well, you know, I still haven't had an answer.
Okay. Maybe it's the off-season. Maybe it's the off-season and they're going to come back to it. Because
professional teams don't have an off-season. George, and you know that. George, you know that.
All right. Okay. I'm trying to be supportive here.
I know you've been supportive, but this is what I'm saying. You've got to be honest and you've got to say it the way it is. I've put a lot of money into Melbourne Victory.
Yep.
I've put a lot of money into soccer. Well, not actually me, sorry.
Yep.
My family, my father, hard-working man that at the age of 82... still works his head off, still devoted to his family like no tomorrow.
Yep. He reminds me of Alessandro Pertini, the former president.
Yes.
When he does something, he does it with passion and great reverence.
But
he still loves the game, doesn't
he? Yes. Well, Dad absolutely adores it. And as he always says to me, but I'm tired and I'm getting old.
We need to get him on for Vuck's sake, which is that other program that really does pump up all the Victory fans.
Look, my father should be running, and he'll deny it because he'll come to you, Giorgio, and say, Giorgio, I'm old now, I'm 82, I want to enjoy my life now, but I know deep inside.
He loves it.
He absolutely adores it the way he's adored his family.
Yeah.
His friends and his business, and that's what soccer needs.
Now listen, your father was a winner, continues to be a winner.
My father
has always worked 100% to improve not only himself, his family,
correct,
and the fortunes of the extended group that cares for him,
correct,
and he cares for them.
Yeah,
it's always been the case.
My father's put everyone first before himself.
Yeah, well,
and. People should listen to what he says on the game.
Can we get him in the studio? Can we get the young fella who is the iconic head of Mirabella to get into the studio and reminisce with us?
I think you should get father and son, not me, Joseph, my brother Joseph, who has got more passion for the game.
Why don't we get him on? I'll get Louise to invite them. They can't say no to a young woman.
I think you should make the call, George. With all due respect
to Mirabella,
With all due respect to the lovely Louise, I think you should make the call. But I think my father would be honoured. My father's very conservative. He'll smile. He's very humble. But
yeah, I'm not surprised by any of that.
Mm.
I've always been a great believer, the longer you live in this life, the ones who make all that noise are the ones that you look at and you go, why are they making so much noise? Yeah, the ones who have done it, who have proven it and continue to do it, don't have to make too much noise. They just get on with the business, whatever that business is.
My brother Joseph, on the other hand, has a great passion.
Is he going to help him stir the pot at victory?
My brother Joseph, if you want my opinion, is the only man capable who can put in Melbourne Victory, looking at everybody else that's on that board or associated. My brother Joseph, with the right people, can make things happen in soccer here.
Can he turn it around?
Of course he can.
Can he get Victory back to the number one platform? Joseph
can easily do that. I have the deepest confidence in my brother. But Joseph has to listen to his father, who is a god in all aspects, as I will always say. But Joseph, with a smart group behind him, and he has those people at his disposal, can not only run Melbourne Victory but also run...
The game.
Because he's got the fire. He's had the fire in his belly on the game since he was born.
Yep.
okay, he follows the wrong side in Juventus in Italy, but, you know, I can't hold that against him. And, look, I mean, look, when Juventus is in Champions League and AC Milan isn't, I'm always a Juventus supporter, so I'll defend him and my brother Vince on that. But
we have some young boys here who are AC Milan fans, yeah, and they're also Juventus fans.
Well, they
can't help themselves.
They're smart boys.
But, yeah, they're smart boys. Well, we only employ smart people. Come on.
As I said, I think he's more than capable, but, you know, Joseph's got to get the right people behind him. He can make not only Melbourne Victory great, but also Australian soccer great because he's got the fire that nobody has.
Question without notice.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking to George Mirabella on a special program on FNR. Mm-hmm. Louise and George Danikian in the chair with George Mirabella, who's not wearing the Mirabella on the collar, by the way.
I've got it somewhere else, but I'm not going to say where it is on the radio, all right?
Correct. Do you think that we need an independent A-League?
What do you mean by independent A-League?
One away, you know, standing up all by itself. And allow FFA to run the rest of the game.
Yes.
For example, one of the things that you and I have discussed in the past has been the role of the state federations. I think the time maybe has come for state federations to do what they can do.
Yes.
Step to one side, mm-hmm. Allow themselves to become part of the greater fabric of the game.
Yes.
We create one body that runs the game. And each of the state federations can run a centre for excellence so that each state in Australia has their best young talent being promoted, being polished, being made as good and capable as possible. And that's men and women.
I agree with you 100%.
Yeah? So wouldn't that be an outstanding template
of course.
For everyone to promote?
Look, of course. Look, as I say, George, we have such an opportunity. We're all proud Australians.
No doubt about it.
Okay, no doubt about it. But as I said...
No, I can see you're excited. I can see you're worked up. I can see you get emotional. You know, it's important.
How do you promote the game? It's so easy. You look at our country.
Yeah.
The people that made this country.
Yeah. Who have been, some would say, denied... an opportunity to be part of the competition.
Correct.
Because they've been sitting in the sidelines. We're talking about the great old clubs.
The great old clubs.
Yep. Whether it was Marconi, whether it was Sydney Olympic, whether it was South Melbourne and
Correct.
So on. You think we should reflect, roll up our sleeves and say, you're all invited to participate. If you're good enough, the competition starts tomorrow. We're going to have a competition for the right to make it to the A-League.
Correct.
Do you think that would bring the fans back in droves?
Of course it will. It definitely will. And then another thing, you know, on the off-season, you know, instead of all high-fiving your mates, this and that, because it's mate.
Yeah, you're watching Athos again.
you know, off-season, keep your fans entertained. Instead of bringing the usual toilet run that you bring... you have a European Cup, you have a World Cup.
Yep.
I've always thrown it on the table.
Which is?
Tournaments, but serious toilet tournaments.
We have a serious tournament, don't we? We have an FFA Cup?
No, we have toilet training, yeah. But, you know, on the off-season, you know, how easy would it be to show the world something better than a World Cup?
We did nothing.
Imagine having...
We brought Juventus here.
Oh, yeah, they brought the reserves. Actually, they did bring one fantastic player in.
You remember.
Of course. But let's get back to it. And I challenge...
Go.
I will challenge whoever runs soccer.
Right. Mr. Nicu, if you're listening.
All right.
Chris Nicu, yeah.
Have a tournament.
A nationwide tournament?
A tournament.
Or an international tournament?
An international tournament.
Right. Who do you want to see play?
At the start, you do it with an international.
Okay.
Making sure that you don't get the reserves or the kids.
Ah, so you got to sign up. But if all the multimillionaires are having a holiday...
We want the best. They bring the best of the best.
Right.
A tournament. England, Italy, Greece, Australia... Hello, boys.
Oh, yeah, it would be, actually. It would be. Athos Syrianos, that... by the way, who's the youngster over here, just went, oh, my God, how exciting would that be?
It can be done. It can be done. Have a bit of a brain. Australia will... The whole world will be here. The whole world.
So you're... So this is what George Mirabella is proposing. England, Greece, Italy, Australia.
A tournament.
Where are they playing? Amy Park?
Well, you need 500... no, without exaggerating...
We've got a talkback caller. Arthur from Oakley wants to join us, George. Let's take this call. George. Arthur, good evening and welcome to the show.
Good evening, good evening. I just wanted to say to George, mate, it's about time someone showed some honesty and showed some balls, mate. I'm very impressed.
You're a legend, buddy. We've got to talk the truth and we've got to do something about it, and
absolutely,
that's why I'm here, mate. I'm here and I thank you for your support, but they've got to wake up, and thank you for your support, mate.
Mate, and don't ever stop. Keep talking the talk.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks.
Thanks, Arthur. Right, that's good. Yeah, there you go.
Have a good night.
Thank you,
boys.
You too, Pat.
So you've got supporters already. They're thinking that Greece, Italy, England and Australia. By the way, who do you think would win, George Mirabella?
It's too hard to call. Look.
Italy.
No. Look.
Come
it's
on.
A tournament. Don't forget. Look at our backgrounds. Look who we are in this room. We are proud Australians, and I am a very proud Australian. If it wasn't for this country, you know, I wouldn't be in this position where
I am
today.
Yeah, yeah.
So
your father did a remarkable job.
My father did well.
But he was given the opportunity.
He was given an opportunity.
He knocked it down.
And don't forget, my father travels the world, and he always says to everyone, Australia made me.
You've got a story about Dad.
I love
Can we tell that story about your father?
Any story you like. if he's listening to this, if I get kicked out of home, George, I'm coming to your place.
Now, here's a story. Now, this is, I want to know how close this is to reality, or is it an anecdotal story?
No.
But your father, as usual, each time of the year has a particular hotel that he goes to and stays in, was it Milan?
Milano.
So, and this particular day, he's rocked up.
Yes, out of the blue.
Out of the blue.
Mm-hmm.
And the maitre d' or the concierge has nearly died when he saw him walk in, because they've realised that his normal room, which is the suite...
907.
is taken by another special guest.
Yes, which they didn't have the courage to tell my father.
Right. We should add, the special guest was...
Pelé.
Mm-hmm. So Pelé is now staying at the hotel in Italy. Mr. Mirabella has arrived, and the only room he wants is staying at the hotel.
My father's been in that hotel and has been more in that room there than at home. I'm only joking, Dad, but this is a true fact.
He arrived when the
World Cup was on, and is my room ready? And they're all scratching their head.
And they're thinking,
and
who's going to tell
there's
Mr.
Someone
Mirabella
in
that Pelé's in there?
No, so they never said who it was, and... Dad says, I don't care who's in there, get him out.
Fantastic. So what happened?
So they did everything and transferred Mr. Pelé,
yeah.
To 901. The man wanted justice. Pelé wanted justice. Now, Dad still didn't know
who it was
Pelé.
Oh, God.
So I think... As he has settled into his room... There was a lovely knock on the door, and I think my cousin Pippo or whoever opened the door still has a bad stutter. And my father's answer to him was, please go and get me 6 soccer balls and sign them all to Paul Mirabella, because we've got 6 Paul Mirabellas in the family.
Fantastic. So there you go.
Yeah.
True story that we thought we'd showcase on FNR tonight because of our special guest, George Mirabella. George, we've worked out over the last 30 or 40 minutes, and we've got an opportunity very shortly to catch up with Con Bitsianis, who's going to preview the women's game coming up tomorrow morning in the World Cup. So an opportunity to before we let you go. Here's the story. You believe that the A-League can be given an enormous boost and the game can be given an enormous boost if we just understand 2 or 3 key ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to throw the salary cap out the door.
Correct.
We've got to give all the clubs that want to be in the A-League a chance to compete and be in the A-League.
Correct.
So we've got the best of the best so that we don't have an insiders and an outsiders. We have the game all brought together.
Correct.
And we have first past the post. We don't have this... Australian fashion of having a finals series after, whether it be Victory or whether it be Sydney or whether it be Adelaide, end up as the premiers.
Correct.
Okay. So, and we need to have an international competition in the longest off-season in the world and bring four clubs or four teams down under. England, Greece, Italy and Australia.
First off, yes, and then rotate it from there. As I said, it'll be great for the Australian economy. Tourism and, look, name a hotel that won't be chock-a-block.
No, it'll be chock-a-block. We're going to get Con Bertianis to join us because I think we're going to run some of these lines past him, and I reckon Con Bertianis will go, I'm with George Mirabella. We've got him, have we? Con Bertianis, welcome to FNR.
Thank you. How are you, George?
Good. Have you been listening to George Mirabella? Tell us what we need to boost this game and give it, I suppose, the biggest kick it's had for 20, 25 years?
I have. Faintly, George. So all new ideas are welcome.
But they're all great ideas. The truth of the matter, Con, is you'd love to see all the clubs that really are capable of competing in the A-League to be competing in the A-League. Yes?
Well, I mean, look, I mean, it's not an easy one. FFA have their directives as to what they want, you know, people to come up with. You know, it is a lot of money for people to come up with liquid cash, you know, every year to accommodate an A-League team. Now, I know that the model runs through America and it works for America, but most countries have an open checkbook, and if some people want to spend more, some people want to spend less, I think it gives it a very good spice, like what we used to have, where you had different teams, and you know, and you had different you had more coaches, we had more different styles, you had more players. Australian players playing, so I think it was healthier in that way. But you know, I suppose it needs something, doesn't it?
It does. Would you like to see an international tournament in the off season? England, Greece, Italy, and Australia.
Look, I enjoy the international tournaments, but look, my line of thought is we tend to waste a lot of money on, you know, our national teams, especially the young ones, when we start sending them overseas for a month at a time or 2 weeks at a time. It's a very, very big expense. And everyone's thoughts are we have to play against better opposition. But the reality is you have to earn it to play against better opposition. So if you're not doing the best here, then just don't send and gratify the kids by sending them overseas and spending. And the problem is that the kids actually believe they've actually made it when they head overseas and they may play for an under-17 Australian team. They haven't made anything yet. And I think that, getting back to your question, it's more important to spend the money at grassroots level and start teaching them correctly and getting full-time coaches to physically teach them how to do things, as opposed to thinking that we need better competition. Better competition will come as you become better, but you have to earn the right to do that. So, you know, that's my thought on that.
Look, I'm agreeing with... Sorry, this is George Mirabella here. I agree with what you're saying, but how many young kids have we lost overseas in the sense of not being given the right to have an opportunity to playing in the A-League? And that's why I said every club in this country that has paid to be a member of the Victorian or New South Wales, whatever soccer federation you want to call it, and that everyone has the right to make it to the A-League. Mm. It gives every child in this country the opportunity of living a dream.
Yeah. Okay.
And the way we're running it, and you know it deep inside, you've virtually answered what, you know, and said what I am saying.
Con's had for a long, long time one other different perspective. He's a specialist. He was a specialist when he played.
I remember him. He was a great player.
Fantastic free kick taker. Mm-hmm. Now, Con, the clubs haven't done, they haven't embraced an array of special talented footballers that we've had in the past and bring them into their clubs and say, listen, can you make my number 9 or my number 7 or my number 10? When they line up for a penalty, can you make sure that 9 times out of 10 they're going to score? Con could do it 9 times out of 10, probably 10 times out of 10. Mm. Yeah? And I think Con's basically saying what we need to do is make sure that they are actually technically gifted. Correct. And if not technically gifted, technically proficient. Correct. So we get the best out of each and every player. Correct. Yes, Con, is that right?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, George, that's true. The thing is, we all have a different perception of what technique means.
Correct.
Or what execution means.
Yep.
It's not anyone's entitlement to have anything in life. You have to go out and earn it.
Yep.
And,
correct.
And
correct.
The thing is, we think that we're entitled because, you know, when I was talking to Louise about this, that when they played the Netherlands, for example, the Matildas, they lost 3-0. And the thing is that, you know, in 6 days' time, they were going to work on individual skills and collective skills before a World Cup. Now, that should have been done 2-3 years ago.
Yeah.
And my perception of technique is very different because I develop players every day. Development is the hardest bit in football. Assembling a team is not so difficult. And, when I look at Ante Milicic, Ante Milicic has his own theories about football. It's not Ante Milicic's real fault that we lost that game.
No.
Because we look at it, everyone looks at it differently, right? And the girl that was commentating, Heather Garrick, I think, she was very upset because he played a high line. Well, I can give you another scenario, and it's objective to everyone, but I'm giving you another scenario. If the girls put away their second and third chance, Italy would have had no chance of winning that
correct.
Game.
100%.
And that's because they applied pressure. Mm. Now, because they didn't execute that applied pressure, then Italy got back into the game. The girl made a very easy mistake. She lost control of the ball, right?
Yep.
But Heather Garrick was very upset at Ante Milicic's tactics. Okay, that's her perception and that's her opinion, right? Mm. And we all have the opinions. My question is, how come Heather Garrick didn't make an analysis on the shots missed on goal?
100%.
Because if you were playing tennis and you missed an easy smash, the commentator would say, well, you know what? Sorry, you weren't good enough. Mm-hmm. And Roger Federer would never, ever, or Nadal, say that, and sorry, but that's what Samantha Kerr's words were. Mm. We dominated against Holland.
Correct.
We dominated against Holland. And we created more chances. But you didn't win. Mm. You didn't score. And part of our game is that when you score, you dominate. Dominate means you beat them 3-0. Or if I'm playing tennis and I say that I dominated and I lost 3-0, that's not domination. And Robbie Slater was the next one who made a comment about the national men's team who lost to Korea. And his comment is that we have a glaring problem, and that's our finishing. And his belief is that because we don't have players playing at the highest level in Europe finishing, that we don't have those players. Well, I understand the difference between that because I develop 8-9-year-old kids, I develop 15-year-olds, I've developed professionals to execute all the time. I mean, I have, no jokes, I have 10-year-old kids who can execute better than some of these people playing professionally.
That was the discussion that I was having prior to the show. That's the discussion that I was having. And
you've got to give them a chance.
And I remember you were a great player, even though you didn't put a Giannis jumper on. But, you know, we can have that discussion, you and I, when
I
we
try, see. I don't.
I know.
I tried,
but look, you're touching on all the points that I say. And the game needs to wake up. You and I know that.
Con, we've got a very important game. You touched on two important things we mentioned early in the competition or in our program today. I said I was very disappointed by the commentary by a bundle of people after the game. Because they allowed their barracking to get in the way of the analysis, and there was no analysis.
Yes.
All right, let's analyze in the last few minutes of the program, while we've got George here and Louise is there. Let's just talk about what we need to do to turn the tables around and get everything sorted to get the Matildas up against Brazil. The game's going to be starting around about the 1:30 mark. It's on SBS, it's on Optus, and it's also on the My Football app. And if you've got it, fantastic because it'll mean you get it for nothing, especially if you're a Telstra customer. What do you think? What do you think the Matildas need to remember, and what do they need to forget to get in a productive way and play the sort of football we know they can?
Well, look, I think they've done very well. The thing is, you're playing Brazil now, who are a very, very good team. I mean, I saw little bits of them against Norway, I think it was. No.
Yep. Jamaica. Was it Jamaica?
Jamaica. And they're going to be very difficult. They've got some really, really good players. So whatever they have at the moment, they definitely need team unity, and it's very good. I mean, I think Samantha Kerr is drumming them up and making sure that they're positive going into the game, which is very important. I think they do a good job of that. But you got to remember, you're playing against a world-class opposition. You may not be able to attack, like keep a high line for the whole match, but you may be able to keep a high line for 20 minutes and maybe get a goal or two. But you're not going to. You have to defend well against them, and you have to take your chances when they arise. And the problem is, some players do not take the opportunity when it's there because they don't practice that whole scenario. They always pass the ball off. And the same player, Samantha Kerr, is not always going to be able to have the space to score. Someone else will have. And they have to take the opportunity when it arises. If they can do that, then they might be able to win this game, which, I mean, a game's a game. Anyone can win. But they, you know, it's not going to be easy. I can tell you that.
Oh, no. We're talking to Con Bitsianis, Socceroo, specialist coach, and as we've just discovered, George Mirabella told us, never got a chance to pull on the Juventus jumper.
True.
Con, I can't believe they never gave you the opportunity. But you know,
I was a big Juventus fan growing up, George. Big
were
Juventus
you?
Fan.
Oh,
Michel
man.
Platini and Boniek.
Boniek.
Cabrini. Yeah.
Mate, I can remember. I can remember.
Dino Zoff.
Hey, Zbigniew Boniek was one Polish superstar that threatened to win a competition all by himself at one stage. He was quite something to behold. Con, thank you very much for giving us your views on a very important game for the Matildas as they prepare to take on Brazil tomorrow morning in France. We'll catch up with you very soon, and all the very best. I hear there's a very exciting date coming up a little bit later in the year for you and your bride-to-be. Can we...
I am getting married. I'm not really publicising it.
I just broke it over.
Come and see me, buddy. I'll give you some advice.
Thanks, Con. All the very best.
Take care, Con. Yeah, nice hearing your voice again, buddy.
Good luck to Auntie and the girls. I hope they do well.
Thank you, mate. Well done and brilliantly said. Con Bitsianis. George Mirabella, thank you for everything today.
Thank you for having me.
And we'd love you to be part of this ongoing story on FNR. We'd love you to get behind it and support it. And something else that you need to know, FNR was built nearly 2 years ago now for one express purpose.
Yes.
To talk about the game.
Correct.
And especially to talk to the people who love the game. But we also want to educate a whole new audience.
Correct.
Yeah. So don't be a stranger. We want to see you here more often.
The Mirabella families are never strangers.
Good boy. Thank you very much. Regards to the rest of the family, including Dad. And we'll get him in here.
Well, it's up to you now, George. It's up to you. Saturday morning, come to Mirabella. Nice Chivas Regal and ice.
Done. It'll be my special Saturday morning, I can tell now.
Well, Dad, I hope you heard that. He's going to come in to speak to you.
I'm coming.
And
I'm
my brother Joseph as well.
Done. No pressure.
No pressure.
Louise, thank you for joining us. Catch you back next week. We have more coming up. Don't forget, 7 o'clock, if you know your history. And at 8 o'clock, it's the club show made famous by the boys who run the Lion's Den.
You're listening to Evenings on FNR, Football Nation Radio.